anything. His purpose is eternal. He sees the whole scope of things. He's looking beyond this little moment of time into eternity. He wants the ramifications of your life to literally, you know, have value throughout, you know, ripple out through eternity. That's what God wants for some of us as men, and also ladies. I'm not, but men, please, don't let your wife drag you to church. Have some initiative in your life. Serve Jesus Christ. Pursue him. Put him first. You be the one that goes out the door and says, we're going. I'm going to be faithful. And see what God does for your family. Watch him as he blesses you. Watch him as he opens the doors. Watch him as he honors you. You watch him because he will. Now I'm going to shut up about that. That was a soapbox. So for the most of the world, 14 through 16 talks about the spiritual person that actually does it. Very clearly talks about the fact that they carefully examine things. You know, the word discernment here actually means to judge, but it has a preposition on the front of which intensifies it. It means you carefully examine things. And you'll notice that spiritual people compare, literally, spiritual matters by spiritual means. That's in verse 13. These are people that when they look at something, they have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and they look at that matter, and it's not just an issue. There's a spirit in the issue. And it's going to be the Spirit of God that's going to make the decision. And I'm going to validate that through the Word of God. He's going to utilize the Word of God to be the means by which I understand this issue. It's going to be the underlying cause and purpose. It's going to be a spiritual issue. Now, for a natural person, they don't get it at all. I'll just read you this. This was written by William Barclay in 1954. Now, 1954, you think, those people were archaic. These people were I think they lived in caves back then. I'm not sure. But these are people that had no semblance of, you know, relationship to us today. This is what he said, the natural man. He said he lives as if there's nothing beyond the physical life and there were no needs other than the material needs. Thinks that there's nothing more important than the satisfaction of his sex urge and thus cannot understand the meaning of chastity. Ranks the amassing of material things as the supreme end of life and cannot grasp the concept of generosity. And therefore is one who has never thought beyond this world and cannot comprehend the things of God. Funny. How, what? 70 years ago, and it's still the same issue. Wow. Just as it was 2,000 years ago, or even 6,000 years ago. Still the same issue. Because man's heart will never change. The natural man places too little value on it. Now let me just say, and I'll close here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4 through 8, you remember Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, and Solomon, wisest person on the earth, but then as he got older, he married other wives from other nations, and they corrupted his heart, and he turned his heart in chapter 11 of 1 Kings from God. And he writes Ecclesiastes, I think this is his repentance book. But he starts out with this in verse 4 through 8. I gained everything. I sought to know everything. I was the wisest person on earth. And this is what I figured out. Everything is vanity. It's just the wind. And everything is vexation of spirit. And you know how he concludes that chapter? And by the way, in chapter 11, he says, do this before, and he goes through a whole list of things, like your grinders wear out, which means you lose all your teeth, it's just a whole list of things. Quite a comparison. You can hear something in the street, but you can't hear anything else. It's like, anyway, it's just quite a description. But he says this, remember this when you're young. Follow your Creator. Don't forget your Creator. Serve him when you're young. I can say this to all of us. You will not be ripped off if you follow Christ. Your life will not in any way will you lack. It will be exciting. It will be a blessing. There will be a joy that this world can neither give you nor take away from you. You will have hope when it seems hopeless. You will have the value of a resurrected life that this world, no matter it, all that it can offer you, cannot offer you a resurrection. Only Jesus can give you that. And for the natural mind, man, this is sheer foolishness. But for you and I, this is the power of God. This is what God offers all of us. And when it talks about us being able to compare all things, we can see the whole world in a different light. It's all about this matter and how it relates to the Spirit of God. We discern everything, but no one gets us. No one. No one will get how you live or why you live that way unless they themselves come to know Jesus. It'll be different for you, and you'll know that God himself has placed his hand on your life, and he said to you, "You're my child. I'm going to make life interesting for you. You are going to have a purpose. I'm going to use everything in your life to conform you into my image. It's going to be brand new and special. It's all for you. You're my treasure. I want to do this." And you will have the mind of Christ. Which, think about this. Was there anything that overwhelmed him? Was there anything too big for him? Was there anything that could be offered to him that was greater than the relationship that he had with his father? Was there anything, even the saving of his own life, was there anything that this world could have offered him that was greater than his relationship to his father? And I think we can all say, nada. Not a single thing. Nothing was greater than that. And you know what? The mind of Christ. Nothing on this earth will supersede or be greater than your relationship to him. It will rule over everything. It'll mean more to you than everything. And in every moment of your life, it will be the deciding factor for who you are, what you do, and why you do it. Amen? Let's pray. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, just take a moment. We've talked about this in the past. I know perhaps there's some here that, look, only God himself can speak to the heart of a human being. Now, people can persuade with various forms of logic or persuasive words, but only God himself. If you're here, by the way, I'm assuming you came with someone that is a believer. And what I'm kind of hoping, and I do believe, that if you came with someone that is a believer, you came because you saw something in their life that you don't necessarily see in your own. So there's something about this person. May not be perfect, no one is, but there's just something. There's a assurance that they have, there's a confidence, there's a sense of well-being that you just don't know. That isn't, you know, they go through things, but it doesn't have the same effect on them that it does on you. That's Jesus Christ speaking to you through the gospel of their life. That's God himself literally speaking through their very life. Even if they never said a word to you, you see it in their life. If you've never received Christ and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, it's a simple prayer. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that offered his life. He was the one that God said, "I'm going to raise to justify him on the third day." It's all Jesus. All you do is accept that by faith, that you, by no measure of your own effort or merit, can earn what God has so freely given to you. And if you've never received him, just take a moment and say, "Lord Jesus, save me." A simple prayer. It's a very simple prayer, but "Lord Jesus, save me." And if you're saying that prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you put your hand up and let me pray with you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, I want to know you, and I'm accepting that truth. I just want that very life that you have so freely shared. I want it to be a part of my life. Just put it right up. Lord Jesus, save me. Father, we thank you for each and every one. We thank you for your love, your life. We thank you that on this day we get to celebrate the reality of new life. And we ask you to bless and encourage each and every one that's here. Make this day a very special day. I hope all of our Easter feasts are as filling as they can be with absolutely no calories involved. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. God bless you all.